Hey everyone, welcome to episode 30 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. Cannot believe we are already up to episode 30. I appreciate the hardworking folks over at jitterymonkey.com who get this show on each and every week for you guys to listen either on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, iTunes, Stitcher, or now poddirectory.com. Several different ways to listen, download, and enjoy the show. And I do hope you are enjoying it and sharing it with those who are fans of professional wrestling. This is a professional wrestling podcast, if you haven't figured that out so far after 30 episodes. But today's guest is one of my all-time favorite gimmicked wrestlers, if you will. And I've been trying to book this interview for quite some time, and it actually just kind of all fell into place. Kamala, the Ugandan Giant, of course, you know, for years and years and years had that protected gimmick of being a savage beast. And then a few years ago went through some pretty serious health issues. He has high blood pressure, diabetes, and he's actually lost both of his legs from, I believe, the knee down, and is wheelchair bound now, and is has been going through a lot. And he has written a book with the help of a another professional wrestling fan, if you will, but also someone who has been involved in the business in a managerial role and has done several things in the world of professional wrestling on a smaller scale, Kenny Casanova. And Kenny's going to be joining in on the conversation as well today. But Kenny is an author and has written several books and is working on another one right now. But anyway, he and Kamala put this book, Kamala Speaks, together. And I actually met Kenny, I say met, we met online after I had posted a picture of Kamala at an ROH show in 2009, and Kenny saw that photo on the my123cents.com website and asked if they could use it in the book, but because of it was a crappy iPhone picture and the quality of it actually didn't translate well in their book, so they weren't able to use it. But I have been supporting the Kamala Kickstarter campaign and the whole idea of this book because, like I said, Kamala's always been one of those guys ever since probably about 1983 or 84 when I first saw him in World Class Championship Wrestling, when I first started watching wrestling. You know, I liked him. I've been a fan of his, even though he was unorthodox and savage and a beast and you know, that heel that you're not supposed to necessarily like. But he's one of those characters that I have come to love. And I hope that you stick around and enjoy this interview with him. Now, he was on his way to dialysis, and the connection on the phone got bad there toward the end, and we actually lost him during the course of the interview. So it kind of abruptly ends, and that's where Kenny kind of picks up and takes over the conversation. So we probably have about 10 or 15 minutes with Kamala, and then we finish it out with Kenny Casanova, who I again appreciate taking the time to talk. And if you want to pick up a copy of Kamala's book, there is a link on my123cents.com. Right on the left-hand side, there's a picture of Kamala, and it says Kamala Speaks. Click on that. That'll take you to their Amazon page, or you can also go to kamalaspeaks.com. Now, a couple of other quick notes before we get to Kamala. WWE, of course, Raw, bringing back Brock Lesnar, setting up a world title match with Seth Rollins, a rematch of sorts from WrestleMania, if you will. And that's going to be happening at Battleground. That's taking place in St. Louis, Missouri in July. And I don't have the website open in front of me at the moment. I don't know what day in July that is, but it is coming up in about 4 weeks, I believe. So that should be building up to be a pretty good show. They've also already announced that Bray Wyatt will be taking on Roman Reigns as well at Battleground, and I'm sure more matches will be added in the weeks to come. Let's talk real quick about Kevin Owens, too. He's had quite an interesting week or so, wrestling John Cena at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on Sunday night, losing to Cena, then coming back, wrestling Dolph Ziggler on Monday Night Raw, beating him, having a brawl, double disqualification, no contest, however you want to look at that, against Samoa Joe on NXT, and then defeating Cesaro on SmackDown. So he's had four pretty big matches, in my opinion, over the last week, and has done pretty well for himself. And again, that match with Cena, you know, it is what it is, and we'll have to wait and see where that's going to take us with this rivalry. But to me, the highlight, not the highlight, but one of my favorite moments was when he took care of Machine Gun Kelly on Monday Night Raw and powerbombed him through that table. So let's just hope they don't bring back Machine Gun Kelly to beat him in some sort of organized matchup. Tough Enough, premiering Tuesday night. If you're listening to this when the show drops on Monday morning, then tomorrow night you'll be able to watch Tough Enough. And I'm curious to see how this season goes. I enjoyed the season that Stone Cold Steve Austin hosted. Chris Jericho, I believe, is the host slash main judge, I guess. Lots of interest building up to that. And I know several people who sent in tapes this year for Tough Enough. None of them made the cut, unfortunately, but I hope they continue on with their pursuit of this dream because they are talented men in the ring on the independent level, and I hope that they continue to move forward with that. We mentioned also that TNA, Impact Wrestling, having a big event coming up on Sunday, June 28th. It is Slammiversary, taking place there at Universal Studios, the big main event for that show. Ethan Carter III, his undefeated streak goes up against Kurt Angle's TNA Impact Wrestling Heavyweight Championship World title. I would imagine we're going to see a changing of the guard. Ethan Carter has been impressive, and I don't get to watch a whole lot of Impact Wrestling, but I do think it's time. I know that there were probably some stipulations by Destination America for Kurt Angle to be the champion, to have that recognizable face there as representing the company as they launched onto this new network. I think there's been enough time now. Fans are watching, and Ethan Carter, I think, deserves a shot. So it'll be good to see maybe some changing of the guard, so to speak, and some of the younger talent. Ethan Carter, of course, wrestled as Derek Bateman in WWE. I don't know that he ever made it to the main roster, but was a part of NXT for a bit there. And actually, Chad and I met him, and I don't remember who his valet was at the time, but we met them at WrestleMania Access a few years ago, back in 2012, I guess, when we were dressed like Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. So Chad's boa got incorporated into the picture. You'll have to go back and look at that on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/my123cents. As always, folks, I appreciate you listening, downloading, and sharing this show. Now stay tuned for the Ugandan Giant, Kamala.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Welcome to the show, and my guest today, as promised, is the legendary Kamala, the Ugandan Giant, and I can remember watching Kamala. I know, sir, that you predate World Class Championship Wrestling, but my first exposure to you was during those World Class days, the vignettes in deepest, darkest Uganda, where you were brought in to battle the Von Erichs. So talk to our listeners a little bit. First of all, how is your health? How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm diabetic, and I'm on dialysis. And I'm having it pretty well. I'm doing all right.
Well, you sound like you're in good spirits. So talk to me a little bit about those early days. I know you started off in the business as, it was Sugar Bear Harris, is that right?
Yeah, that was during the George and Gil Coffin days, back in Mississippi. Sugarberry have always been one of my nicknames when I was growing up and playing a little bit of football. teacher then when I first started wrestling, Sheila Bay Harris. So it did all right for a rookie, a newcomer, somebody that's trying to learn.
How did it evolve, or how did you evolve into the Kamala character? Was that was kind of the work of Jerry the King Lawler, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Jerry Lawler gave me the gimmick back in 1982, and that's when it was T-Mala with an I, T-I-M-A-L-A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it went over real well, and I figured that if went over well there in Memphis, then it will go over well everywhere. Well, I was happy. I was excited about it.
And it really did, because you ended up taking that gimmick into, like I mentioned, World Class, where I first saw you. But you were in the NWA, WWF a couple of different times, WCW, USWA. You carried that gimmick on for probably, what, well over 30 years?
Yeah, about 32 years I did, I believe. Yeah, so that's a long time traveling the world and wrestling a few people that I used to watch on TV, like the late Dusty Rhodes and the late Andre the Giant. I mean, I just don't talk about what I've been wrestling them when I used to pay to go and see them. But I did, and I had a good time doing it.
That had to be an amazing time. And not only, this is something I think a lot of fans don't know, not only did you wrestle Andre the Giant, but you're one of the few wrestlers who actually picked him up and body slammed him as well. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
Yeah, I was, that was way before Hulk Hogan, body slammed him. But yeah, I body slammed him right there in around 81, 82, somewhere along that. Yeah, so that's when I was in Mid-South. So everybody worked real well.
Yeah, and you know, obviously went on and wrestled some legends like Hulk Hogan, as we mentioned, Andre the Giant, Dusty Rhodes, The Undertaker. What were those experiences like traveling from not just territory to territory, but really kind of traveling the world with WCW and with WWF?
So what was it like?
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, coming from Mississippi and you basically saw the world, I would guess, huh?
Yeah, you know, being from Mississippi down in the South, I mean, I would have thought that I would have gone all over the world, but I did, and, you know, I always think about that. Coming from the cotton fields in Mississippi, chopping cotton, picking cotton, and living on plantations sometimes, that I would have ended up traveling the world. And that's something I think about all the time, and I mean, when I said traveling the world, I traveled the world.
Why do you think the Kamala gimmick was so popular? I mean, it, you know, as I look back on wrestlers and the gimmicks that they had, you know, obviously James Harris seemed custom fit for the Kamala gimmick. You made it work so well for so long. As a kid, I believed that you were this monster from the jungles of Uganda. And, you know, to talk to you right now is very surreal. And I saw you several years ago at a Ring of Honor show, and you were signing autographs. And that was kind of the first time I saw you kind of outside of that Savage Beast kind of gimmick that you had. So why do you think that the Kamala character resonated so well with fans and is still so well loved today?
I believe it's because I took care of my gimmick. You never saw me speak English until today. But you never saw me speak English. You never saw me out of character. And I did that for many years until WWE broke silent. And you know, I'd say just kill the gimmick. To kill my gimmick. I don't know about others, but to kill my gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I took care of my gimmick.
Do you have what's your relationship with the WWE right now? I know that they make some of the figures, the characters after the Kamala gimmick. Do you have any kind of relationship with them? Do you have a favorite opponent, a favorite match? What are some of your favorite memories from your long career? Because you were one of those guys who, you know, we saw not too very long ago still getting in the ring and able to wrestle.
Yeah, I have a lot of favorite matches. Now, I enjoyed watching wrestling Jerry the King Lawler. I enjoyed watching, wrestling Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and the lovable Undertaker.
Yeah, you've had some very memorable opponents. Now, you also have the book Kamala Speaks that we're going to talk about a little bit as well today. And what was the motivation for you to write this book? We mentioned the book Kamala Speaks, and Mr. Harris himself mentioned the man who helped him put this book together, Kenny Casanova, and Kenny is joining us as well on the show today. Thanks, Kenny, for being here, and you have quite a backstory, too, in the world of professional wrestling. You not only helped Kamala put this book together, but you also managed him at one point.
Yeah, that's right. I started in the early 90s, a bit later than Kamala, and I looked for a lot of the old-timers that I had a chance to grow up with, so that was super cool for me, and then it was nice to be able to give it back to him later on, after having been a fan of the character, and then being able to manage him as Kamala, as Kimchi. I played Kimchi a number of times in the Northeast. It was nice to be able to give back to him when I saw he was in need, and help him out the book.
What was it about the Kamala character? Because I mentioned to him that, that was when I was growing up, that was one of my favorites. Even though I kind of feared him, he was one of those guys that I always liked, and I've grown to, as I've gotten older, respect him, and even more so now, knowing kind of some of the obstacles that he has faced in his life.
I think one of the things that the journey of the character was, it was very believable, even at a time when, most people still believed, in pro wrestling as being a true sport without any characters or, written finishers or any of the stuff that's been leaked today. There was still a little bit of, I'm not quite sure how it works, but, something's not quite real, but I still like it,
mm-hmm.
feeling back then. But with him, when he would come to the ring, if you look at old tapes and all, people would still kind of slap the shoulder of the bad guy when he was coming to the ring or whatever. They still wanted to come up and approach him a little bit because he was larger than life. He was a superstar. He was like a rock star in the ring. But Kamala, they still ran the other direction. he was a very believable monster. I remember sitting with my dad watching TV, and my dad yelling at the screen, why can they let this guy bring a spear in the ring? No, this is a bunch of crap, you know, and it was just very believable that this scary-looking monster was destroying a guy in the ring. So the very believable factor, you know, pulled me in, I think, to be interested in writing this book. There's chapters in the book where he talks about, you know, a whole audience in Japan just parting, you know, waves like water, like Moses, parting the waves in the Red Sea, and him walking through and then just running, you know, to get away from him. And he saw that wherever he went throughout his career of 30 years in the ring. What he would do, I guess, to protect the character, as he said a few minutes ago, quite often what he would do is after a show, he wouldn't go out drinking, he wouldn't go to the club, he didn't hang out with any of the guys. He would just go back to his hotel room, and then he would feed his addiction. And the only addiction he had, it wasn't drugs, it wasn't pills, it wasn't steroids, it wasn't alcohol. It was maybe ordering some Chinese food or some chicken wings or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he would pig out, and then he would call it a night. So that was pretty much his thing. And he did the same thing for years and years and years. So it's actually tough to find some stories. I mean, we'll do a new search, because he protected his gimmick so much that he wasn't. He wasn't out there. He didn't put himself out there to be, you know, the victim of planks and ribs and things like this. So it's a little difficult to find some things on, but we did it.
What for you as a fan of his, what was the most interesting, or, you know, give us a teaser for the book, obviously, but what was something about him that you learned that you thought, wow, this is not what I thought of Kamala?
Let's see, do you want a PG story or a PG-13?
We can go PG-13.
Okay, so let's see. One time, this is a funny story, and it's funny how I got this story. Let me give you a little background on how I got the story from Kamala. Kamala told me the story, and then Jamie Dundee told me the story, and also Jimmy Jack Funk told the story. And Jake the Gross told this story. So I got it out from all these different people, and then I was able to better put the story together from different people, you know, having all the different angles to it. So the way it was is, I believe Kamala was coming back from a world-class show, and he was driving through Memphis to get to his home in Sylvia, Mississippi. So Jerry King Lawless, I'm going to play a trick on him. What he did was he borrowed his buddy's police siren and put it on the dashboard of his car. And he waited because he knew that James was going to drive by soon with a big Cadillac. I guess it was pretty distinct. And eventually, just as he had thought, James drove by, and Jerry the King Lawler pulls up behind him and puts the light on. Now, the King had a CB set up, almost like you might see in the old Dukes of Hazzard reruns, where they could talk on the CB and you could hear it through the grill of the car. It was attached to some kind of bulletin speaker, so they could talk. So he said something to the likes of, pull over and stick your hands out of the car. He sticks his hands out of the car, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and the King's probably laughing behind the wheel and just making him keep his hands up in the air for almost 10 minutes. And then he starts to put him down, he'd yell at him again. And eventually he had him come out of the car and stick his hands on the trunk of his car. And Jerry came out, had the high beams on, so it was tough to see him. And Jim starts to turn around and he'd say, no, don't turn around, keep your eyes forward. So, James Harris is Kamala's real name. He's leaning over the hood, and this is back, you know, I would say, in a time still where there's a lot of issues in Mississippi with cops, crime on blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little nervous. So Jerry the King Lawler comes over, and he starts to frisk him. So he kind of starts up with his shoulder, and then goes down to the crotch. and then he goes down the legs and then comes back up to the crotch, and then back up to the shoulders, back to the crotch again. And each time he's kind of jiggling around in that crotch region. And James is thinking to himself, he's saying, oh, I don't know what's going to happen here, you know, and he's getting worried because the guy keeps over and over going to the groin region. So, he says, all right, I think you're clean, and he's talking a bit with a different voice, and he says, just stay there. And then he goes back over to the car, waits another 10 minutes. So James just stands there, and then eventually he starts to peek back, and then he sees the license plate that says King, and then he's like, oh, Jeremy! And he gets all mad and runs after quite an involved rib, and it's pretty funny to hear it told by different people. Putting the story together, James didn't remember the whole up and back down in the crotch, up and back. I think he blacked that part out.
Yeah.
But Jake the Snake had heard it from Jerry the King Lawler himself, and he retold it to me that way. So there was another element to the story that was more comedy, made it a little bit more slapstick, that I thought was funny to include.
So was this your idea to put the book together, or was this his idea to put the book together? How did you two kind of pair up for that?
It was totally mine. He didn't really want to. What happened was, is my mom, who just recently passed away to diabetes herself, it kind of hit home because I had written online that James was doing dialysis 10 hours a day, and we just lost him probably on the phone there a minute ago. He's off to dialysis, I think, now. I think it's still times a week. He's on dialysis for 10 hours, which is crazy, because that's a big part of a person's life.
Sure.
You know, my mom did it two or three times a week for, like, 3 or 4 hours, a little bit more tolerable. So when I read it, I understood what it involved, and I was like, oh, geez, this is not a very good quality of life. And I just got to thinking, I was about to release time travel book that I've been working on, which I've shelved because the wrestling thing kind of took off here. But I started thinking, I wonder if I helped him write this book and he could stretch his story into a book form, if that could help offset his medical costs, just to tell what is happening. People don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They heard about this. Maybe they could, purchase the book, and then whatever revenues are collected above and beyond expense could help them offset, all these medical costs, because the wrestlers don't have good medical. They never really are employees of WWE if they do hit the big time. They're independent contractors that just kind of show up and do a job, for a couple of years and then go. There's no medical, there's no benefits, there's no retirement funds, there's nothing of the sort. So, he had it pretty rough. He went from traveling all over the world to Japan, Australia, and everywhere you could think of, to pretty much just losing both of his legs to diabetes and then sitting in the back of his kitchen looking out the window every day and not being able to go anywhere and praising his song. So I convinced him. I said, look, man, let's put the book together and you can have the money. I haven't made anything off the book. I just worked on it forever and helped him set it up and got it together with him, and any money was made, gone directly to him. But at first he was skeptical because he had been burnt by a lot of promoters in the past, making promises and all. And I think he called him every day. He started to realize it's serious and I'd rather do it. He had other people try to write a book with him before and just kind of dropped the ball, never do anything. But I felt through with it, and I had to be, harangued a few times by Coco Beware, who's a good buddy. And Coco, said, you got to picture that this is like your mother. If you want to help him, you got to help him. You don't make a profit and not make this happen, And I was like, no, I'm serious, man. I'll do it, And, I'd worked with James a lot, as he did some other Kim Chi's in the past. But, he didn't have a relationship with me that he knew me that well. The rest of the chairs, put us together, we do a few things, and then we part ways, that's it. Book of Beware is the one guy who still stayed, faithful to him and with him all these years, whereas everyone else, was talk to Jerry the King Lawler or Harvey Whippleman or any of these guys from WWE that everyone may, you know, would think you should still be on a friendly basis with, Brooklyn Brawler or any of these guys that have done things for them. None of them are in the picture now. It's pretty much just Coco. So yeah, it was tough to get to grab his trust, but we've got it. The book is made somewhere in the area of it's generated about 25,000 or something like that, and it costs somewhere in the area of about 10-12 to make it, with printing and postage and, you know, all the expenses around it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the guy came along who was interested in the Bleacher Report doing a piece. And he did a piece on that, and it was between our Kickstarter, also before we could sell the books, so he threw up a GoFundMe account, and CNN picked up his story and played it, and that generated, because that link he created was on CNN's exposure, another 3,000 of just straight cash.
Wow.
You know, untaxable, because of where it was made or something, like where it was set up. So the book is made like, you know, with this and the promotional added, this whole project has come around $50,000-$60,000 since, that call to Coco Beware. It's all that type of thing.
Now, can people still get the book?
Sure. Best way to get it is at KamalaSpeaks.com, because what happens is there's no middleman taking their cut. You can also purchase it at Amazon.com if you feel more comfortable with that. But KamalaSpeaks.com has autographed copies and different collectible kind of products that you can get surrounding the book, the promotion of the book. So that's a good way to go.
Yeah, and that's actually how we kind of met, and I say met through the world of Twitter and social media. I had a picture on my blog at my123cents.com of Kamala from that ROH show that I spoke of, and you guys had asked if you could use it for the book, and the size of the picture, something didn't work out with it, but it started a dialogue between us, which I'm grateful for, because I love talking to wrestling fans who grew up kind of the same time I did and have an interest in the legends, and Kamala is certainly one of those legends. Kenny, if people want to follow you or get to know you more on social media, because you're working, and I don't know how much you can talk about it, but you're working on other wrestling-related projects, is that right?
Right. There's another big-name wrestler who's pretty much signed the contract. We haven't announced it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he's shaped like Kamala, but he's white. he got a copy of the Kamala book and decided he wanted to do the same type of thing, but not as like a fundraiser. He just wanted the book like it about himself. And I've been interviewing. Actually, today I have to speak with that individual, and we'll announce it soon who it is. I mean, you can kind of guess. There's not that many super heavyweights out there, so it's probably one of a handful of people. And Dan Van Bigelow's passed away, so it's not him, so it's like him. But anyhow, that will feed into the weird line of big and tall men books that I guess I'm going to be producing in the wrestling world as a ghostwriter. And pretty much the process of that, by the way, is tons of interviews. And even more interesting with Kamala, because he's not a man of many words. The reason why Jerry the King Lawler chose to put this gimmick together is because they booked people's strengths back then quite a bit. They didn't give them a gimmick that wouldn't work, because it wouldn't, you know, people could see through that. And since he wasn't a big talker, they made a monster that would have a mouthpiece, which had a manager to control him. And that was the whole Kimchi, or actually in Memphis, the guy's name was Friday, kind of character. To take care of him. So James himself is not a big speaker, and I had to interview all of his, you know, work acquaintances over the years that I could find, and I created, you know, forwards from Jim Ross, and, you know, stories from Jake the Snake Roberts, and Dick Foley wrote a forward, even Insane Clown Posse, Violent J wrote something in there, all kinds of people. King Kong Bundy wrote in something. Chavo Guerrero. There's a ton of people that, you know, so writing his book was difficult, though, because I got the stories from James, and then we'd call all these other people that would talk and embellish a little bit more, and it really helped flesh the book out.
As a fan, what is your favorite memory of the Kamala character? Do you have one?
Let's see. You know, it's funny. I grew up right when the Slick thing was happening. Well,
okay.
I mean, I grew up, but I mean, that's one. You remember when
sure.
he was managing him?
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much the end of his career, mostly on TV. He had a little stint quickly after that with WCW, but there was so much more that we barely even cover that topic in the book. The
mm-hmm.
funny part about that is, you know, I talked to Slick a few times on the phone. He's an actual Baptist minister now. Geez, I don't know, I think in Indiana or something.
He's in Kentucky.
Kentucky, that's it. And, he's a super nice guy and stuff, but they really didn't work all that much together. That's something memorable that I remember seeing on TV, you know. But it was reminiscent, actually, of Captain Lou Albano and George Anvil Steele and those type of storylines. You know, I grew up with late 80s, you know, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing, and I would guess more world class is where I think I really first saw him, and he was much more evil and less comic book than he was in WWE. So
yeah.
I think that was my first impressions of the scary, no good monster destroying people, is probably world class.
Yeah, that was my first memories of him as well. Kenny, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap things up today?
No, that's it. I mean, if people are interested, again, KamalaSpeaks.com is a super way to pick up a book, and you know, all the proceeds go to help offset his medical costs. He's a super nice guy, kind of guy that his shirt off of his back, and not ask for anything in return. So it's nice for people to reach out and help donate. So we want to thank people for helping with the project.
Yeah, and speaking of shirt off the back, I bought or I donated to the Kickstarter fund and got the Kamala Stars and Moon shirt, and I love it. And it's a definite conversation starter when I wear it out in public, and people don't necessarily know about the Kamala character or the gimmick, and it's a good way to. And I do plan to read the book as well. So if people are interested, again, you can head to KamalaSpeaks.com. It's also available on Amazon, but you can go directly to the page and see all kinds of cool Kamala stuff. And also follow at Kenny Casanova on Twitter. Now, does Kamala maintain Twitter as well, or is he pretty hands-off on social media?
What happens is he sends me it on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And I put it up on Twitter for him.
Gotcha.
So, and then if there's some kind of question on Twitter, then I might shoot it back over to him. I don't think he necessarily gets Twitter, and he doesn't understand Skype, but for some reason he figured out Facebook. you can find him on Facebook if you look, too. If you find me, Kenny Casanova, he's one of my friends on there, and I think you can get to him that way, James Harris.
All right.
You can probably search James Harris, but it might not be public. I'm not sure.
Yeah. All righty. Well, Kenny Casanova, again, thank you so much, and maybe when this next project is done, we can talk to you and the participant you're writing about this time around as well. All righty, have a great day. There you have it, fans. Kenny Casanova, of course, the author of Kamala Speaks, along with James Harris, Kamala the Ugandan Giant, one of my favorite gimmicks and characters of all time. Unfortunately, the call with him ended a little prematurely. He was on his way to his dialysis treatment. He is still undergoing a lot of treatment, but I do appreciate him taking the time to talk to us today. But we invite you to head on over again to my123cents.com. We've got links to the Kamala Speaks book on that page, as well as to the KamalaSpeaks.com website that you can check out for yourself. As always, folks, thanks so much for listening to My 123 Cents, the podcast.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.